Welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're here with you every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We got Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman joining us after their game, a very interesting game yesterday. Our game of the week was Washington and Denver, and I know that the guys made a couple of comments that have gotten some traction today. One of them was made by Steve at the end of the game when Robert Griffin III was knocked out of the game on a particularly tough sack that he took. It wasn't dirty or anything. It just Griffin and both quarterbacks have been getting knocked around in the ball game quite a bit. And joining us now on our newsmaker line is Steve Bozell. And Bud, we'll want some of your comments, too.
Yeah, well, that was pretty brutal.
That's what I understand. Steve, so the game yesterday was a Denver win. And it was a game that, as you guys mentioned, both quarterbacks were being knocked around pretty good. Now, the NFL players over the last few weeks have been wearing these pink shoes and pink socks. Can you give us a background on that?
The pink socks and shoes, Phil, are as a result of the NFL support for the breast cancer awareness, and they've also had a ribbons and all this, and it's been quite a successful in terms of raising money and awareness on breast cancer, where we sort of ran afoul of it and had commentary that we did is the fact that the players on the field are wearing the pink shoes. Now, I don't have anything, there's nothing gonna, if you're a professional, you can play through it, but when you put pink shoes on a quarterback, and look what happened yesterday to Robert Griffin, you make him a target. It's simple as that.
Now, what do you mean, make him a target?
Well, I think what you're doing is, the players are going to say, okay, I got to wear pink because the deal, here's the deal. The league got done a thing with the breast cancer. And, okay, I got to do it. But when you're a quarterback, and Robert Griffin yesterday had on pink boots. Now, I don't know whether they have a choice.
When you say pink boots, are you talking about the football cleats were pink?
Yeah, the football cleats that he was wearing was pink. Some guys wore a pink sock. Some wear pink sleeves.
Are these the same? This is Margaret, Mr. Bozell. Are these the same kinds of shoes that football players usually wear, or are they different?
As far as I know, they're the same kind of shoes. They have the same kind of cleat. They have the same, they lace the same way. Some of them are, you may know, some of them are ankle high, some are not. But in this case, they're pink because...
Yes, that's the breast cancer awareness color. But I just wanted to know if there was anything about the shoes that inhibited his mobility or his ability to play the game.
As far as I know, no, there isn't.
All right, now when you say that wearing pink shoes makes him a target, give me this. The players don't resent him.
No, they don't. I don't think they resent him. I think they see him as, it's one thing to have a quarterback who is, well known for running the football, and Robert Griffin III is well known for running the football, just like Michael Vick was and a lot of quarterbacks down through the years. And so any defensive player, whether it's a linebacker or a defensive lineman, is going to, he's got that guy in his sights. He wants to stop that guy. One thing he doesn't want him to do is complete passes, okay? So you do want to get your sacks, you want to have that pass rush so that you can keep him from completing passes. But then the other thing that's even more important is if he's a running quarterback, you don't want him taking off on you, so you don't want to over-pursue or, and stuff like that.
What does over-pursue mean?
It means if you go,
I'll tell her. She's asking me.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it means if you're running at the quarterback and then he gets away.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Well, what? Okay, so what is there?
That's basically it.
Well, if you run past him, I guess you're right.
See?
Okay, fine. You're right.
Well, I'm still not clear. What does that mean?
It basically means this. It means if you rush a quarterback and you rush past him because you're going in opposite directions. The quarterback's moving forward, and you're running in the opposite way. You're going toward him. If you brush past him, if he steps forward and you miss him, she doesn't understand.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if I understand or not, but what you're saying, over-pursuing him means that you miss him.
Yeah, that means you miss him.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it, do I, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, let Steve do it.
whenever. I mean, I was there, too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm the guest on the show.
Look at guys, let me call the shots here, okay? Go ahead, Steve.
All right, well, so what happens then, if you over-pursue, then he takes off running, and that's what a guy like Robert Griffin's going to do. That's what a guy like, you know, a lot of quarterbacks that run is going to do. So you're going to be really keyed in on a quarterback like that. Now you come into the game, you're keyed, you're hyped up, you're ready to go, you're ready to rock and roll, you want to do things that will stop this quarterback. It's the way it is for a defensive player. You want to hurt him, maybe. I don't know if you want to hurt him, but you want to stop him.
What does that mean, you want to hurt him? Do you want to injure him?
I think a lot of players wouldn't say so out loud, but they with a quarterback that'll hurt you that way, they won't come out there and maybe take a kneecap and just.
Well, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Margaret, we're not going to discuss I don't want to discuss the relative morality of football and the physicality of it. I mean, we could get into the same discussion with hockey. We're just talking now about a guy getting targeted specifically, as opposed to just another day at the office for some of these guys tackling quarterbacks. Now, the guy's got on pink boots.
Yeah, now he comes in, he's a guy that you want to stop. Now he's got pink shoes, so there's something, I think, in the heart and in the mind and in the soul and in the instinct of any football player or athlete, or just in a testosterone kind of fueled environment like football, when you see a guy walking out onto the field and he's got on a little booties, you feel offended. You feel as if it's personal.
What does that mean, personal?
Well, you know, why would he... I don't know, why was he...
He's got to wear it on account of the NFL and breast cancer. He doesn't do it on purpose.
Hey, Hickman, you know, you were there, man. Don't start asking questions like I'm all, like, messed up, because you agreed with me yesterday.
Did you agree with him yesterday?
Yeah, but now I want to make comments that are against him.
Why?
Why would you do that?
Because it's better, because I've got you and Margaret and Robert and stuff.
I'm not going to make no comments about him. I think he's making sense.
Why don't you just butt out, bud? You had an opinion yesterday that agreed with him. Now you're changing your opinion because it's more fun?
Well, it's more people here.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dickman. See, that's the whole thing about working with you. I know, as good as you are, the next day I'm going to get a spear in the back. See, and I don't mean anything racial by that, Robert, because I'm putting a spear in Dickman's hand.
Well, you put a spear in Dickman's hand, man, that's a lethal weapon. Tell you that.
I'm not going to spear you in the back. I'm a white man.
Yeah, well, he just put one in your hand.
Yeah, I put one in your hand. And you don't want to know something? That's what you're doing to me right now. You're sticking a spear in my back.
All right, forget about whether he's putting a spear in your back, okay? And, Bud, what is it with you with the white man thing, okay? Get the racial overtones to your commentary out of the discussion once and for all.
You ain't never going to do that, man. That's the way you are.
But what way? Oh, I said, he's the guy that said spear, so...
I did say spear, because it doesn't matter, white or black. You're the king spear. As far as I'm concerned, you're the king spear chucker.
That's, you know, I said that's offensive to a white guy.
Hey, look, would you shut up? By the way, speaking of that, when Kirk Cousins got picked off by Rogers Cromartie in the game yesterday, and it was a pick six, so he ran for the score, and the only guy that could reach him, or at least had the speed to catch him, was Kirk Cousins, and Rogers Cromartie was taunting him, you tweeted, and Cousins is a white man.
Yeah, you did.
Well, what does that mean?
I said that he...
You, tell me you didn't. You really didn't.
Why'd you do that?
All I'm saying is that Rogers Cromartie is black, and he started doing his dance as Cousins is working his hind end off to try to catch him, and Cousins might as well have just stayed home, because Rogers Cromartie could walk to the end zone faster than Kirk Cousins can run. And so I said, wow, you know, I mean, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't I what?
Cousins is white.
All right, hold on for a minute. See, this is...
Boy, who are these idiots that you have doing the game?
Never mind. We'll sort this out. We come back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Has the National Football League basically put a target on these quarterbacks because this month they're wearing pink as a way of raising awareness for breast cancer? It's very, very important, absolutely, but by the same token... it being important, that is an important thing. But by the same token, they're pink shoes. And are there National Football League defensive players ready to just lower the boom on any guy wearing pink? World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Join us online at philhenryshow.com. We've got live streaming video of our show tonight and every single solitary night. 3 days left in our Halloween-y month, man. 3 days left to get a backstage pass and a free download with every BSP. So visit us there at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Steve does the play-by-play for our game of the week along with Bud Dickman. Yesterday it was the Redskins and the Denver Broncos. By the way, I guess we could talk about whether the Redskins, that whole thing with Braveheart is ain't going to happen, right?
That was discounted by the team over the weekend. There was a neighbor of Daniel Snyder's who had registered that name, but the man, simply a neighbor of Daniel Snyder's, doesn't know the man, wouldn't know him if he fell over him. Snyder made that very apparent, that this guy, whoever this neighbor was, Snyder wouldn't know this guy if he was on fire and came running to him and screaming for help.
He didn't say that.
Dude, what are you making all dramatic?
I'm just saying, Snyder said he didn't know him.
Okay, didn't say he wouldn't know him. He was on fire. Boy.
Can we get back to the point here, which is the pink boots?
Yeah, okay, the pink boots.
I want to know, the pink shoes, was this man Griffin targeted as the result of wearing those? Do you think he was?
I think he was, yes, I do. And at the end of the game, toward the end of the game, I should say, Robert Griffin was indeed sacked, in a particularly rough manner. He got taken and just bounced and pushed, and I can't describe it, but it was very, very...
Well, was it illegal? Was the player called for a penalty?
I think it was an unnecessary roughness call. It was one. I know there was an unnecessary roughness call on one of the Denver defenders on Robert Griffin during the afternoon. I don't know if that was it, but, they treated him with, as I said in the broadcast, great disrespect. And yeah.
Well, you have to treat him with respect. Oh, he is a rookie.
Well, no, he's not a rookie. He's just his second year, okay?
Well, I mean, but the respect thing has nothing to do with rookie or anything. Treat the guy within the rules of the game.
That's exactly right, Phil. They wanted to hurt him, and Denver come in and they took him and squished him.
They squished him. What does that mean?
I mean.
Because I think you need to be more accurate with your descriptions and not quite. See, I'm having a hard time. If you're saying that he was targeted because he was wearing pink shoes, and then you say he was squished, I'm wondering if your own fear and mental youth, the youthfulness of your mind.
Okay, is that another way of saying that my brain stopped when I was before I turned 10?
I don't think she's saying that.
Well, I'm not saying that specifically, but there are aspects of your brain that seem to have seized up at that age.
Why do you say that?
Because you said he got squished.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
I'm not going around talking about a guy getting squished every day. It's not like I'm... I think that's very unfair of you, Ms. Gray, because I almost called you Ms. Greeley. I don't know why, but...
Why would you call me Greeley?
I don't know. It just came to my mind, or greasy or something. Maybe it's because I'm feeling negatively, and I'm feeling very unfairly targeted.
Well, are you upset?
Are you upset, Steve?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, let's grow up a little bit, okay? We're talking about...
Oh, there you go again, okay? So she's saying I got a brain that seized up at the age of 9.
I'm saying emotionally and some aspects of your intellect seized... Forget it. I don't want to get you any more upset.
Okay, well, all right, so treat me like I'm...
Look, Steve, nobody is criticizing you, and no one's really criticizing you except when you said squished, okay?
Yeah, so what?
It's a weird word to use. If the guy comes in and roughly treats this quarterback, and it's a violation of the rules of football, you'd say that. You'd say he got squished. I mean, what happened?
Well, what do you want me to say? The guy picked him up.
You can say that he picked him up. He treated him very roughly. He manhandled him.
Well, that sounds,
That sounds sort of gay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say, but I'd rather say,
And squish doesn't sound effeminate, huh? Squish doesn't sound bad?
I think squish sounds better than manhandled.
How about this? How about saying that he was picked up and he was driven into the turf, the way a lot of broadcasters do?
Well, see, that's just it, Mr. Henry. I like to consider myself a little bit more of an original. And I like to think that I do things on an original way.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Oh, I see. And so seeing someone got squished, that's really going to grab the adult audience, huh?
You know, I'd hang up were it not for the fact that Mr. Henry has made a statement. If anybody hangs up, he's gonna have them fired from the show.
Yeah, that's right. I did make that statement. So let's move past all this squish talk and talk about the pink shoes. So your recommendation is that these pink shoes be eliminated from the National Football League.
I think that the sooner they get done with this Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the sooner we're going to have players that are not going to be limping off the field and otherwise being dragged off the field because there's an offensive player looking at a guy and saying, man, you know, he's wearing pink, and I know that he's supposed to wear pink because it's the breast cancer awareness, but I also feel that that's a statement at me, you see. And
that's a statement. So these defensive players, getting back to what you said earlier, are taking this personally. They're thinking that the pink shoes taunts them.
I think so, yeah.
Well, why would that be a taunt if they know they have to wear them?
I can't explain it. That's just the way the mind of a professional football player in the National Football League. You see a guy in pink, you're thinking, boy, that guy, you know, as we like to say here on the show, there, man, he wants $300 worth, you know.
Griffin, he didn't want $300 worth, I don't think.
Robert Griffin was out there wearing pink because the players are wearing pink. And I think that to say that it is putting players in danger, I think you have to come up with something more than just one guy getting hurt. I think you have to overall look statistically at the number of injuries since these pink shoes have been worn. And keep in mind, you're talking about one specific position. Are not running backs also targeted? What about a wide receiver?
Well, I tell you right now, Phil, I'd hate to be a wide receiver. And if you look at the wide receivers in the National Football League, I bet you money that you don't see a lot of them wearing all, like, pink shoes because you're just begging for it, Ben. And I'll bet you anything you don't see no pink socks or anything.
I'd be willing to bet you because I think you're wrong. I think I have seen wide receivers. But nonetheless, it gives a defensive back a little extra incentive, huh?
I think it does. And, you know, and it, this being a sports being a very superstitious kind of a pursuit, I don't think it's wrong to say that, you know, some guys will probably say that the pink shoes that makes their game worse or the pink socks makes their game worse. I mean, it's like the Redskin controversy that's going on right now. A lot of fans may say, well, maybe the Skins ought to change their name because they stink so bad. And they just the things that they do and the way that they are stinks so greatly that something's got to give, man. They got to do something to clean that stink up. And maybe a name change is what they need.
All right, well, then conversely, if the Redskins were winning lots of football games, people would be against them changing their name.
That is superstitious.
Yeah, absolutely. And they would be against it changing their name.
Yeah, well, why would they want to change the name when they win?
Because it's got nothing to do with anything, unless you're talking about a psychological edge of some kind. Good point there, Steve. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, I don't know how much more time we have, but you wanted to bring up it was a personal statement?
Yeah, I made a statement during the game, and I wanted to clarify it because I'm afraid that there's going to be people. During the game, I said they were able to jam it in lickety-split. I was talking about the Denver Broncos making a comeback in the game. And when I used the term jam it in, lickety-split, I got an email from a lady listening in Boulder, Colorado. Her name was Karen Nueve, who said that she resented me using the word spit and jam in because of, you know...
Oh, my God.
Because of what? I don't...
You can, you know, put some spit on it.
Yeah, I mean, spit on it and...
Oh, are you kidding me?
No, I mean... That's what she said, and...
So I don't blame her. You didn't really use it in that sense, did you?
No, I didn't use it in that sense. I said they jammed it in lickety-split talking about football. I didn't say anything...
All right, take it easy, Steve. No one's, you know...
Well, Margaret is.
No, she's not. No, are you saying that he did that on purpose as a sexual innuendo?
Well, why would you say lickety-split jammed it in?
I didn't say lickety-split. I said they jammed it in lickety-split. Actually, what I said is they worked it in. And that lady and the lady said to me, that made it even worse. I responded to her. I said, I didn't say jammed it in. I said worked it in. She goes, well, that just made it worse. You know, and then she just figured, she didn't hang up on me because it was an email, but I felt like she just hanged it up on me.
All right, hold on for a second, Steve, because we do have to take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Steve Bozell is with us, calling yesterday's Denver-Washington game, ran into a whole bunch of controversy, not the least of which is the pink shoes that the players are wearing. One of them was Robert Griffin, the quarterback, who went out with an injury. And it was as a result of that injury, it was felt by Steve that perhaps these guys, these poor players are, you know, these poor players are out there having problems because they're wearing pink, you know, and they're being targeted. Now we got this email he got from some lady in Colorado. Don't say lickety split and jammed it in. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
That's ridiculous.
How do I know? And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show here every night. Till 10 o'clock here on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and enjoy thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived great radio shows. The Phil Henry Show going back over a decade with all kinds of marvelousness, and also, of course, our current show, the podcast of our current show, our classic podcast. And we have some free stuff over there, too. The Bobby Dooley podcast, our YouTube channel. We have Phil Henry Radio and a bunch of stuff. It's worth it. And it's something you must have in the ever-changing and the ever-changing and ever-dynamic and ever-dangerous waters of modern-day radio. You simply must have the backstage pass. All right, Steve Bozell with us from Corona, California. And we'll just wrap up a little bit here, Steve, because we've got some other things we want to do, which is not, I'm not hurrying you off.
Yeah, you better say that because it gets his feelings hurt.
Don't get my feelings hurt, okay? And, you know, and I'll tell you something. I appreciate the opportunity to call the games on the PhilHenryShow.com. And, Dickman, you know, I can tell you that I'm grateful to have Dickman, but also I make him look good.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I make you look good.
No, you don't.
All right, hold on. Tell me about the email. I think we got to it, didn't we? The whole email with lickety-split.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm simply saying that lady in Boulder has got something wrong with her because I never said nothing about spit on it and you know.
Well, you said work it in, and I, as a woman, now let me just say this, as a woman, it is offensive, and I know you didn't mean it, Steve, but I wish you'd say something different, because as soon as we hear that, you, as a woman, you go, ow. You just instinctively say that.
You gotta be kidding.
Where do you... Excuse me, we're on the air right now. You're dismissing my comment, Phil, as if I'm some sort of hysterical female. I'm telling you the truth.
I'm not dismissing your comment. You said to me, though, you just now into the audience, you said when you hear that, you go, ow.
You do, because you're thinking about what he just said.
Ma'am, I mean, Margaret, I said...
I'm not a ma'am. Are you thinking of me as your mother?
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to be polite. I just said that, you know, I wasn't even thinking of sex.
See, that's the point. He was calling a football game.
Well, football is a euphemism for a lot of things in the male world that have a lot to do with things other than football, I think.
All right, so you said what?
I said they jammed it in or they worked it in. I said they worked it in lickety-split.
Yeah, see, listening to him say that right now, I just went, ouch, you know. It's instinctive, Phil. I'm not saying that he's doing it on purpose.
You just went, ouch.
Yes.
Did you feel pain?
Did you feel pain? I'm not going to answer questions like that.
All right, let me ask it in a nicer way. Are you telling me that you're having some physical sensation when you heard him say, lickety-split, they worked it in?
You know something? This is a vile discussion for a radio show.
Well, ma'am, I totally agree with you. I didn't...
And would you stop calling me ma'am?
Margaret... I agree with you. Steve agrees with you. I think everybody agrees. So why are you continuing to talk about it?
Because I don't think he's being honest when he says lickety-split, work it in, because even saying it to myself, I can feel, you know, it's like there's a...
What? Like it's there's splinters?
Yes, as if there's splinters.
Well, ma'am, if I meant something sexual by it, I'm not talking about a broom handle. Okay.
Well, I was thinking of... Excuse me.
Now where are you going?
I'm going to the bathroom. God! Where do you think I'd be going?
I don't know. After this discussion, maybe to get some... Well, I don't know.
Well, now, speaking of that, Phil, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. We took a lot of heat for this. The Redskins got a kicker, but see, I didn't, you know, I didn't have...
Slow down.
I didn't ask for none of this, okay?
You talk about that kicker named Sav?
What's that?
You talk about the kicker named Sav?
Yeah, the Redskins got a kicker named Sav Rocco. And Bud and I both said, ha, 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 how do you like that? The guy's got a name like something you're up, that you wipe on something. You know?
Well, can I say something as I'm still in the toilet, Phil?
Go ahead.
I'm actually looking for Sav right now.
The kicker?
No, the kicker. The...
Okay, just, we'll talk in a minute. Would you go help her?
I don't need any help.
Go ahead, Steve.
So, she's looking for Sav, not the man.
No, she's looking for, you're talking about Sav as in, like, unguent or something, or
Yeah, like an antiseptic cream.
Yeah, we thought it was funny that the guy had a name like that. So I go, ha, ha, his name's Sav, yeah, and Bud goes, yeah, you know, what should we rub him on, you know, and ha, 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 and all that. And we got cards and letters and emails on that one, so, you know, I just came on here because I want to apologize.
Don't worry about it. I don't think you did anything wrong. I mean, it's a stupid comment, but that's, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, the guy's name is Sav. You're going to start making a big deal out of that.
Well, I just thought it was a funny name to have, you know. I don't know.
What did you guys say exactly?
We just said, hey, this guy's Sav. Hey, Sav, should we rub you on somebody and stuff like that?
Yeah, hey, Sav, you know, maybe we ought to rub you all over something. That kind of deal.
Oh, that's real funny. You guys really take your time with some of these lines, don't you?
Well, I mean, can you do better?
I probably wouldn't have even addressed it. And if I had, it would have been probably something better than, hey, Sav, you want me to rub you all over something? I don't know. All right, Steve, thanks very much. Sorry that you had those problems with the cards and the letters. Margaret, are you okay?
Yes, I am, thank you. I never wasn't okay. I went to use the bathroom. What did you think? You think I went in there to rub Sav on something?
You were talking about... You know, taking it standard.
I didn't talk about take...
Take it easy, all right? Let's take it that way. Thank you very much, Steve. So good to have another interview that ends with a guy all dissatisfied, going off, probably going to kill himself or something.
No, yeah, to kill himself, man. But that guy, you know, he caused most of his problems.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, he caused most of his problems by talking about Sav.
Steve Bozell, I agree with that. He does cause most of his problems. Although the problem with the worked it in lickety split, that wasn't his problem. But the Sav, yeah, I agree. You know, you guys just beat that into the ground, man, because I did hear that part of the broadcast. Every time that guy started kicking the ball, it was like, the guy's name is Sav.
Well, it was kind of funny, you know.
Yeah, okay, fine. It was funny like the first time. The second time, not so funny. Okay, Phil Hendry Show here, and great for you guys to join us. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. So that was cool. And then, of course, there was the ball game, the baseball game, which I'm talking about Game 3. Yeah, yesterday was everybody that watches these World Series games think that they're ending with such unusual plays. A pickoff throw at first is not an unusual play. And that's how the game ended on Sunday night. The game on Saturday night ended with an obstruction call, which then made the runner safe at home, which gave the St. Louis Cardinals the win and a 2-1 lead in the series. Now, I didn't think it was all that unusual.
What is it? Now, I know I was watching the game with Frank, and he tried to explain it to me, and he said that it was the worst call he'd ever seen an umpire make in the history of the sport. And I said, you know, and then he said, no, I'm only kidding. So I still don't...
Frank said, I'm only kidding.
Yes, he said it was actually a very good call. And then he laughed and took a sip of his drink. He thinks it's funny when...
When you don't understand the game?
Well, I don't think anybody understood that call.
Well, I mean, it was an obstruction at third base. And what basically happened was... The Red Sox had played a pretty decent bit of defensive baseball there. Yes, there was a toss into I guess it was left field down the line. Now, if they hadn't it obstructed that runner, then he would have been safe by a country mile. So, you know, I can't really say, I shouldn't say that there was decent defense being played. The throw to third base got away. That was what really screwed the old ball game. There's no way that that guy was not going to make it home. But, you know, they did have one out at home. Was pretty decent play in the field before that. But here's what happened. As that guy took off from third, he ran over top of the third baseman who had fallen down trying to catch that errant throw at third base. It wasn't intentional. Everyone knows that it wasn't intentional. The umpires knew that it wasn't intentional. But the rule says it doesn't have to be intentional. If there's obstruction, there's obstruction. It's an automatic advance. And in this case, he advances to home plate. That's the winning run. That's the end of that. And I'd never, quite frankly, I don't think I ever, I remember obstruction plays in the past. I remember all kinds of weird plays, man. I mean, I've seen all kinds of crazy-ass plays in baseball thanks to the wonderful instant replay camera. I remember a game, it was a World Series game, and it might even have been the Dodgers and Yankees. I remember when Reggie Jackson stuck his hip out to knock a throw away. There was a throw, I think, down to a bag that he was on, and he stuck his hip out to make the ball carom off his hip and into the outfield so that a runner could advance from another base. This was a huge controversy. Tommy Lasorda came barreling out of the dugout and was... Now, you figure if a guy can see a play like that from the dugout, if he can see a guy stick his hip out and actually try to get hit with a ball so that it carom someplace, then it's a pretty good bet that that's exactly what happened.
Well, what did they rule?
Yeah, they probably ruled that the guy was safe, right?
They did.
Yeah, because it's the Yankees. They never go against the New York Yankees. Not never.
What do you mean they never go against the Yankees?
Oh, well, the Yankees are royal to either baseball. I don't think they never go against. What are you talking about? Never go against the Yankees.
They didn't go against them that time, did they?
No, they didn't. It was more than just the Yankees. It was Reggie Jackson, you know, Mr. October. So...
So they're not supposed to rule against the Yankees? I don't understand.
No, it's not that at all. The Yankees are baseball royalty, so some people get in their minds that the Yankees, especially when they're playing at home, and I think this was a game at Yankee Stadium, you would never, make a ruling that would go against the Yankees. It's not quite like that in baseball. Basketball, sometimes you get that criticism of the officials. Football, maybe. I never hear that in baseball. If anything, home fans are generally just showering abuse on umpires. But the Yankees are baseball royalty, and so people do tend to think that way. But I've seen all kinds of plays. Man, I saw that play. We all remember the Buckner play. Going, that wasn't a controversial play. That was just bizarre. I've seen plays where they couldn't tell whether it was a home run or not. Man, they had to just go over and over and over again with the instant replay, and they're, I don't know, even with an instant replay slowed down to God knows, what speed, they can't figure it out, and they're trying to criticize an umpire for making a call? Then there's the fan interference calls that have happened. I mean, it's nuts, man. And it'll continue to be because, that's sports, and they don't use any instant replay in baseball. So there you go.
And what was this pickoff?
Well, there was a pickoff throw yesterday at the end of the game, basically from the mound.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
It means when the pitcher throws to a base, and picks a runner off.
What?
Yeah, what?
Look, I'm not going to sit here and explain baseball. There's a guy on base. You know how they dance around on base?
What?
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I don't quite get it, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get that you don't get it. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back with more. When the guy picks somebody off...
I don't know.
What's that mean?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, but that sucks.
What does?
Well, my friend Barry Louise, she's in some meetings in Washington, D.C. today. She got to be in some meetings with former President Clinton, and everybody's getting there. She works her ass off back there. She is a big, big supporter of McAuliffe, who is running for the governorship of Virginia. And there's a lot of people who are working hard, but she's one of the top people working for him. And then they had a visit from former President Clinton, and she didn't get to have her picture taken with him. There's all these people getting their pictures taken with him, including people who weren't in the meetings, but because she was in the meetings, there wasn't an opportunity to have her picture taken. So I think that sucks, man. Mr. Former President, you know, you got to stop down and get some pictures taken there with the people that are busting ass, man, not just people that are all, can I get my picture with you? You know, you got to stop down and...
Well, don't start talking like that, Phil. You're going to have people saying, yeah, if it was President Bush...
Well, I don't know. If it was President Bush, it'd probably be the same thing. It's got nothing to do with partisanship. You know, I'm sure that there are people saying, I know that President Bush would stop and have his picture taken with everybody. And the fact is, these guys just go and get their picture taken with whoever the hell tells them, you know, whoever it is they're supposed to. There's a guy there saying, go there, you do this, you do that. But I just know that she's worked her ass off, and she's had a couple of surgeries in the middle of all this. And, you know, I don't know why it pisses me off, but it does. It's bugging me. She says, I got the better deal. I got the... Oh, she said she got to talk to him one-on-one. Okay, that's good, doll. I'm glad to hear that.
So she actually sat down with President Clinton and did a one-on-one discussion with him?
Yes. And she said it was very, very a lot of fun. So there's... She said, that's the better deal. All right, I'm glad to hear that, you know. I hate it when people... See, she's the kind of person that is very, very low-key, you know. She's one of those people... Doesn't speak up for herself, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're the kind of guy that goes to war for people like that, and you wind up being, you know, pushy, and everyone thinks you're an ass, and that person gets away with murder.
Yeah, they're all quiet and peaceful, and then you go to war for them, and everyone thinks you're a big ass, and they're still quiet and peaceful.
What do you mean everyone thinks I'm a big ass?
That's what you're saying.
I've always been, and I know there's a lot of people who are like me listening right now. I've always been for the underdog. That's always been my... I don't know why. I didn't make a decision to be for the underdog, but I've always been a guy that has pulled for the underdog. Anytime I see people getting pushed around, I automatically am on their side, you know. And I suppose it extends to just my friendships with people. I know a lot of people that I became friends with, not because I'm trying to, you know, that I think I'm good for them, but I just happen to like them because they're fighting a good fight. You know, I mean, they're out there and they're, you know, trying to stick their head above the fray and be noticed. And aren't we all, you know, a guy just passed on this weekend that some of you may be familiar with, some of you may not. His name was Lou Reed. Lou Reed was not, as he was described by one of the commentators, he was not one of the founders of rock and roll. He may very well be one of the founding fathers of modern rock or modern music, but it was very interesting to see the outpouring of love and affection for Lou Reed, because I saw that here was a guy who went through his entire career as a fringe player at best. He was not a mainstream artist. He was not a big concert hall artist. He was not played on the radio. That's the best place. If you want to go and visit the land of make-believe in rock and roll, go to the radio and listen to today. They're probably running Lou Reed tracks back-to-back on radio stations that never... ever would play a Lou Reed album. Now all of a sudden, oh, let's play a bunch of Lou Reed, you know? Let's play Sweet Jane, and let's play Walk on the Wild Side, and let's play Sweet Jane, and let's play Walk on the Wild Side. They only, like, know one song.
Well, what other song? I'm not familiar with him at all.
He did a lot of great songs, you know? I'm Waiting for the Man. I mean, look, Lou and the band Velvet Underground was a group that was as identified with Andy Warhol as they were with the New York club scene at that time and making music. They sort of crossed the boundaries. They were a very original group of musicians, original thinkers. They didn't see any real limits to what they did in terms of the medium. And as such, they, you know, were very interesting to look at, to follow, to listen to not only just listen to their music, but see them as personalities, Lou Reed especially, who was a guy that was so, you know, he was such a mystery at times. People didn't even know what his sexual orientation was. Was he bisexual? Was he gay? Was he straight? Who is Lou Reed, you know? But the point that I'm trying to make here is that.
Yeah, because you're not making a very good point right now.
Yeah, no, same, Mr. Henry. You're like all over the board, you know.
All right, fine. Thank you for the critique. You know.
Yeah, get to some good stuff about him.
I'll get to some good stuff. He was a great musician, songwriter, and artist. The thing that I admired the most about him was that he was an original guy. And because he was an original guy, he was a fringe player, not a mainstream artist. He was an uncompromising artist, which means that he did not fit into the plans of record companies or concert promoters or clubs that wanted, you know, the big common denominator artist. He was a guy that just didn't do that and wouldn't do that. And he goes out with a lot of respect from his fans, and the people that didn't know him now all want to. You know.
Well, I saw there's a lot of people say, oh, Lou Reed. And when you ask them, well, what about him? And they don't really know. They just like to say the name.
Yeah, they want to pretend they were fans. And I think today you're seeing a lot of that. But he's my hero because he was an original guy and because he, like I said, he was an uncompromising artist and he worked on the fringes, you know, of the music business. All right. Let's take a break, man. All right, we'll be back next hour with a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, including R.C. Collins on a British man charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. So we're going to be looking at that. Chris Brown has been released. He was charged with a felony. Now it's just a misdemeanor, and I think probably Frank Gray will be on with that one, too. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We'll see you next hour. Woo!